How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed? You often hear it said, I was going to say maybe not as much as you used to, but no, I think you hear it said just as often as you used to. Why would I want to bring a child into this world? The first time I ever heard that was on the old sitcom, All in the Family. It was the son-in-law and the daughter talking about having a child, and the son-in-law said, why would we want to bring a child into a world like this? Of course, he was living there, I think, in Queens, in a free country, at a pretty prosperous time, more or less, where a lot of children brought into the world would not have the benefit of all those things. Seemed rather ironic. But you still hear it. Why would we want to bring a child into a world like this? And sometimes it's connected directly to a doomsday scenario, a doomsday worldview having to do with global warming or climate change or just the environment in general. Joining us to talk about the cult of doomsday environmentalism and an excuse not to have kids, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled Baby Haters Use Global Warming to Justify Their Selfishness. Hans, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
How would you summarize the basic beliefs of doomsday environmentalism?
Yeah, basically I would summarize it by saying it's sort of a cult-like or religious expression of kind of environmental ideas, or it's almost like if you were to sort of create a mythology out of the concept of climate science. So there's sort of this idea that a stable, unchanging environment is the God that you are serving, and that our goal is to provide a world that is precisely that. So you kind of employ these different methods to accomplish that, so that in kind of you have sort of these various things where their interpretation of the climate data is the Bible, is their kind of their version of the Bible, that everyone who isn't on board, everyone that they would call a climate change denier, is someone that should be punished. You've sort of got movements seeking to basically curb the free speech of people who don't draw the same conclusions based on the data that they see. So, so the various methods that try to serve this environmental stability are essentially the Ten Commandments, and that following those is how you make yourself a righteous person.
So it has the hallmarks of a religion.
Sure.
All right. What does that have to do with having babies?
Well, kind of the idea of this doomsday environmentalism is basically the notion that we're right on the precipice of climate change wreaking havoc on the world, and when this happens, these changes are going to result in mass famines and starvation and flooding or whatever it may be, kind of depending on the various scenarios that people will put out there. And so the idea is that that there's going to be all this suffering and catastrophic death throughout the world. And so kind of the notion, its connection with childbearing is you'll have some people who will say, well, because this is inevitable, because this is already going to happen, the most selfless thing that you could do is not have children, because children are, at the end of the day, a bunch of carbon footprint leaving, emissions producing, leeches on society who cause that throughout the world. And in particular, it's kind of this notion, well, if you have a child, your child, and the carbon emissions associated with your child, that's going to cause immense suffering to people all over in different corners of the world. So it's kind of like a weird variation on that old thing, you know, where your mom would tell you to eat your vegetables because there were starving children in China or India. And it's sort of this notion now that, well, you don't have children who need to eat vegetables because that's going to release fossil fuels, and that's going to only make things worse for the starving children in India or China.
So it's not exactly why would we want to bring a child into this world because the world's so terrible. It's why would we want to bring a child into this world and increase the carbon footprint of our family or something like that.
Yeah, it's probably not so much the notion that your own child is going to die. You know, this is not like I'd imagine when, you know, if people have real bad genetic disorders in their family, you know, and they're worried about, you know, children born, you know, having children that are going to be very sickly and things of that nature. Kind of a more sort of morally complex issue like that. This is more so just that, well, you're going to have kids. Your kids are going to release a bunch of fossil fuels and leave a carbon footprint, and that's going to be bad for everyone.
So you say that this is really not just kind of a devotion to a quasi-religion of environmental doomsdayism, but it's really, in fact, also just basic selfishness. Talk about that.
This is I get criticisms of this sometimes when I write pieces, which is fine, but that basically that I kind of have a tendency, I suppose, to argue that people who disagree with me on an issue are being insincere in their position that they're really arguing something else. I suppose that's to some extent a fair criticism, but my point in all of this really is just simply to say, as Dr. David Scare, one of my seminary professors, used to say, everyone's always trying to justify himself. So every man in the world is always trying to find some sense that his desires and his place in life is that he's made himself righteous. And so the question is, well, how do you kind of accomplish that? And one of the challenges in life is that when people have bad consciences, they're looking for kind of ways to justify the actions they've already taken and to say that the things that they feel bad about are actually good. And so all of us are always trying to do that. We're always trying to finagle things that way and always trying to kind of fool ourselves into thinking that way. And it's usually a pretty good indication that that's the way people are thinking when their actions don't match up with their words or when there's some kind of inconsistency there. And so I think the problem that I see in this is really that if you sort of look at the data, there are plenty of people who believe climate change is a real and serious problem and that there's, you know, legislative action that needs to be taken, that needs to be passed and things of this nature. But they don't draw the conclusion, therefore this means that having children is the worst possible thing you could do, and we really ought to stop having children ourselves, or we ought to, you know, start trying to practice population control methods and things of that nature. And they don't draw that conclusion because the data doesn't really kind of force you into that corner. So, you know, if people kind of have some freedom to interpret the data the way that they want to, my point kind of is, if you really actually wanted to have children and you really valued having children and it was an integral part of what you wanted to accomplish in your life and you saw it as just simply a part of the very existence of being human, well, you're not going to look at some relatively neutral data and just steamroll headfirst into the conclusion, oh gosh, I guess now I have to give up that dream of having children that I've always had in my life. You know, I had all of their names picked out and had knew everyone who was going to be the godparents, and shucky darn, it looks like I have to abandon all of that now. The reality is, if you are kind of willingly and gladly interpreting the data in such a way that it brings you to this radical conclusion that's not really necessitated, the reason for that is likely because you've never probably had that much of an interest in having children, and there's probably a certain amount of guilt over the fact, or even if it's not guilt, just feeling a bit out of place in a world that values that. And so if you can slap something on top of it that makes it seem like this is a really good and holy desire, if you can all of a sudden say, oh no, the reason I don't want to have children is for the sake of the environment, then that all of a sudden makes the fact that that your pre-existing lack of interest in having children makes it seem quite a bit more sanctified.
It sounds very familiar. I mean, you're too young to remember it, but I distinctly remember the threat of the population bomb, that we were going to overpopulate the entire planet, and that became, in its day, the convenient excuse for people who really didn't want to have kids anyway. Sounds like the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I say, it's just a matter of you decide what it is that you've already decided what it is that you're going to do, but you want to make it seem holier. You know, I kind of, my analogy for it in the article is a bit like in when you have cult leaders, for example, like Joseph Smith, who starts forming the Mormon Church and claims that he's having revelations from God, and then all of a sudden one day has a revelation from God telling him that he needs to take multiple wives. And you go, oh, boy, it was really convenient that God's newest revelation just so happened to be the same thing that you've probably wanted to do since you first hit puberty, which is namely to have relations with as many women as possible. It's kind of that same thing of, well, we'll just say that our version of God said to do this. So our version of God is, or our version of revelation is the climate data, and that's what revelation says. This is what we got to do now. Oh, is that exactly what I wanted to do beforehand? How convenient.
One final question for you here, Hans, and that has to do with kind of an underlying presupposition, and that is childbearing and rearing today is almost viewed, and people don't come out and say it more often than not, unless someone has too many kids over a certain number. But it's viewed as kind of, they're being irresponsible having children. They're in being self-indulgent having that many kids. Kids are a luxury. Is that behind all of this?
Yeah, I think there has been obviously quite a big change in the way people understand children, in particular since kind of the advent of the birth control pill and since family size started really dropping. And nowadays people don't see marriage and childbearing as intimately tied together, as kind of being flip sides of the same vocation. In their mindset, you get married because you love a person, and then the idea of whether you have children is completely by mutual consent and has nothing to do with the actual institution of marriage. And a lot of times what happens when people have smaller families is that they have, because they have fewer children, they have more money to spend on their children, and they develop lives that they think are just kind of how you have to raise them. So, we got the kids in three different sports things and two different dance activities, and, they've got this line of clothing that they're wearing and kind of all of this nice stuff. And the idea that your kids are going to be wearing hand-me-downs and that they're actually maybe just going to be playing, a pickup game of basketball amongst themselves, in the driveway and stuff like that, people kind of have this notion that that's not really how you're supposed to be raising children. And because it's different, and because in particular I think oftentimes people look at it and they think, well, yeah, I would want to keep my stuff. I'd want to keep, the fact that I'm able to work this job now that I wouldn't be able to do if I had younger kids. I wouldn't be able to have the kind of house I have or have the kind of money that I have if we had more children. I think there is a bit of sometimes guilt in that people are just a little uncomfortable with this notion that they might have had their priorities a little bit out of whack, and which is why they didn't have more children, and why they then in turn look with a kind of a sense of misplaced anger and judgment at people who have more children.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Baby Haters Use Global Warming to Justify Their Selfishness. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a legal challenge to a federal regulation that would require doctors to perform gender transition on those who request it, including children. Lori Windham, senior attorney for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Conservative versus radical. Two extremes which offer us a window into considering the future of Lutheranism as well.
Dr. Larry Rast speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For there is a place for the confessional witness Lutherans have to offer in the places in which we find ourselves today. But that witness will only be faithful if it conserves the insights of the Reformation. And that conservation, I believe, is needed today more than ever.
You can listen to Dr. Rath's presentation, Making the Case for the Conservative Reformation, and teachings by Chris Roseborough, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorr-Heinz, Brian Wolfmiller, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.